earlier, we had a wonderful time exploring the themes of shipwrecked and hearing about the way Jesus can rescue little kids, which amazingly enough are the same way that Jesus can rescue big kids and adults. Last week, Chad led off the series talking about how Jesus can work in loneliness. And today we'll explore the place of Christ in powerlessness. Power, as we heard earlier, has many definitions. A few minutes ago, we looked at the scientific definition of potential and kinetic or movement energy. There are mathematical definitions. Remember, something like 2 raised to the third power equals 8. There are certainly political, legal, and military definitions. Relationships and organizations have power dynamics. Power is an energy and a force in the world. The definition of power is this: the possession of control, authority, or influence over others. It is not by itself inherently bad. It's a neutral force until it is used. And we likely have all been in situations and places in life where we did possess power, control, authority, or influence over others, as parents and grandparents, in the workplace, as a leader of a task or organization, in relationships with each other's, the camp counselors will certainly have some power over the young people that they serve this week. And one of the growth challenges of life is learning how to walk that line between influence, control, and force. Positive use of power allows others the freedom and consequences of choice in the most life-giving, dignified way possible, while still giving needed direction or steering the course. And we talk about worshiping a powerful God, and isn't that exactly how God uses power in the lives of those who love him? Freedom and consequences of choices in the most life-giving, dignified way, while giving needed direction and steering the course. God has taught us how to use power. I have this theory that God could create the perfect world where God was continually healing our bodies, controlling the weather everywhere all the time, and directing, forcing, saving, redirecting, and rescuing people from all their choices, and everyone would be safe and healthy and free and loved. But there would only be about 100 people in my theoretical world, because even all of God's energy would go that far. God might have figured that out at the first person out of Eden, but it took me 100 to figure that out. God is powerful, but in creating complex human bodies, an amazing planet and cosmos, and giving humans freedom, well, it's all just a beautiful mess. And in that beautiful mess, we sometimes find ourselves feeling powerless, stuck, helpless, unable to exert power, often unable to even seem to change our own selves or how we deal with what is happening in our lives. Let's look for a few minutes about the ways powerlessness exists on our way to the Jesus Rescues part. This was, interestingly, a concept that kids got really easily. There is not a lot of inherent power in the life of a child. Your world is full of people telling you who, what to do, when to do, how to do it, all of the time. Kids do their best to exert power in the ways they can, but tantrums only get you so far in life. You can only hold your breath until you turn blue once. And as adults, we get at least the illusion of more control in our own lives, but it is often just that. It's a tricky illusion. So we may be most familiar with what I would call circumstantial powerlessness. Life happens. But sometimes really hard, almost unbearable life can happen. Serious illness, sudden job loss, natural disaster, infidelity, addiction, the loss of a loved one. We didn't invite it. We can't control it. We are just in it, looking around for rescue and help. There is also a kind of powerlessness that can be learned, born of family dynamics, of personality, or the result of abuse or trauma. Fight, freeze, and flight, reactions kick in rather than any kind of measured response when someone is exerting power over us. It's a place where we can find ourselves in imbalanced relationships, unable to set healthy boundaries or recognize or deal with unhealthy ones. It's a place where we can be stuck in our own inability to respond in ways that are healthy and life-giving and perhaps even life-saving to us. I had a friend once say to me in a time where I was really kind of stuck in a relational mess, "Why have you given away all of your own power?" What a great question to be able to ask ourselves and to ask God, where is the healthy power that I should have in this to make change? So we have circumstantial and learned powerlessness, but there is also a great deal of systemic powerlessness in the world, injustice. And sadly, thus it has ever been. The powerlessness of a citizen in a war-torn country, desperately trying to find a way to leave and keep their family safe. The powerlessness of being a person of color, judged and labeled by how you look before you are known for who you are. The powerlessness in being one of 33 million girls in the world without access to even a primary school education. The powerlessness of being born in a country without adequate clean water, enough rain, and too little food, knowing that one of three children in your family will die of hunger or disease before reaching adulthood. The news, our world, is rampant with this kind of powerlessness. It's hard to look at. It's hard to stop and feel what it makes us feel, to take the time and space to learn and think about what breaks the heart of God. It makes us feel, well, powerless. The writers of the Bible were not unfamiliar with this feeling and this concept. From the rise and fall and exodus and exile of the Hebrews to the status as a Roman-occupied territory in the time of Jesus, God's people have often not, usually not, been in the power position. The Hebrews of Jesus' time were looking for a force of power and might to come and rescue them. But Jesus came to rescue the powerless in God's way. I had the joy of co-teaching the Imagination Station, the science piece of VBS this week, with my friend Carrie Morton. And I told her on Friday I'd struggled through the week with the word rescue. Jesus rescues. And to me, being rescued implies being removed from a circumstance, a helicopter plucking someone out of a raging flood, paramedics rushing to the rescue. But rescue is defined as to free or deliver from confinement, violence, danger, or evil. Yet we know that tornadoes come and devastate a town. Beloved ones are not able to escape from addiction. Serious illness happens to people at all ages and stages of life, and there always seems to be an abundance of violence, war, famine, and tragic circumstance in the world. And I don't believe that we see on the news a lot of helicopters with Jesus rescues on the side, Jesus at the helm with his long brown hair flowing in the wind, swooping down to save the day. Or do we? What does God's way of rescue look like? What if we look at rescue a bit differently? What if rescue means knowing that we are not alone in the circumstance, that Jesus rescues in his sure and certain presence? In June, as I was sharing my story with the people at Birchwood and Trinity, I recollected a place in my life when I was at my lowest, feeling overwhelmed, full of despair, and absolutely powerless to change what was happening. It was one of a very few times that I heard the certain voice of God in response to my sense of powerlessness at that moment. And in that voice was a direct assurance that although where I was and what I had to go through was really, really hard, that I would never be alone as I went through it, that Jesus would be by my side in every step. And that assurance was a great source of power and energy for me as I walked ahead through what came next. Jesus rescues in his presence. And what if we read God's word and hear and believe God's voice about who we are and what we are in God's eyes? If we believe in and seek the healing and transformative power of the love of Christ, perhaps our personal powerlessness can be transformed by the gentle and healthy power of that love. And what if we understood that rescue may also come in the form of humans with the arms and feet and hands and voice and heart of Jesus? Then perhaps we do see squadrons of helicopters, flotillas of mercy ships, millions of volunteers in the world who step into powerlessness of others to offer rescue in Jesus' name. Each week, there are Jesus followers who step into AA meetings decades into their sobriety and offer their story to encourage those in the first weeks, months, and years. Every day, people everywhere on this planet step into a food pantry or a soup kitchen or a refugee camp to feed those who are hungry. They help teach kids to read in small villages in Guatemala and in American public schools. They offer hugs and prayers and smiles to hurting friends and strangers. People write letters to senators and hit the protest lines and gather together in meetings to find a way to bridge the gap between the power structure and the powerless. They move into a disaster area when other people are moving out to help provide the basics of shelter, water, food, and human care. And last year, millions of women and men spoke up to the entertainment industry, to the military, to the church, to the government, and to the world with two simple words, "Me too." Those voices reclaimed the power that had been taken from them at some point in their lives by sexual harassment, abuse, or violence, and the isolation that they felt in the aftermath. Those combined voices were a rescuing force for many who still felt alone, powerless, and broken. Those two little words, spoken one at a time, made a huge impact. People of God, we are invited to be a part of Jesus' rescue team in the world. We are needed, and there is a place in that team that meets you in your age, your stage, with your gifts, your heart, your passion, your personality. Find your place in the sea of hands and the chorus of voices, reaching out to help those who need one. There is always room for one more. Jesus rescues through us. And lastly, I came to understand the Jesus rescues piece most fully when I looked at the synonyms for rescue. Liberate, save, free, redeem, ransom. Those words sound much more theologically familiar. Hear these words from Jesus in John 16:33. "I have told you all this so you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world." While on this messy planet, we will have many trials and sorrows. People in power will exploit and sometimes harm those without power. We will often feel powerless and overwhelmed by injustice in the world. We will do our best to create God's kingdom on earth, and we will speak up, and we will pray and cry out to God for change and peace. Yet may we also move forward knowing and trusting that God's power is exerted in God's ways and in a timing and scope that far exceeds our understanding. May we trust in the redeeming, saving, healing, liberating, freeing power of Jesus to work in hearts and lives. And may we both rescue in the name of Jesus and know in the marrow of our bones and the core of our beings that we are rescued through the power and love of Jesus Christ. Pray with me. God of love, God of power, God who designs us to serve your purpose on earth, may we move toward your presence, your healing, and your hope for the powerless. Thank you for making us part of your rescue team. And all the people said, Amen.